You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Mikel Arteta and Arsenal storm back in a thrilling 3-1 win at home to Manchester United. Liverpool cruise past Aston Villa in a 3-0 win at Anfield. Chelsea's early season woes continue as they struggle in a 1-0 loss at home to Nottingham Forest. And three hat-trick heroes emerge on Saturday in Evan Ferguson for Brighton, Erling Haaland for Manchester City and Son Heung-min for Tottenham. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Well, my friend.
Okay, Robbie Earle, my friend.
Before we get into the action, mate, I kind of just, I'm sitting here, just thought, this Premier League, mate, it's some league. You look at this match week four, and we had the Friday night Luton's first game at Kenilworth Road in the Premier League and hosted West Ham, went down. Then we get into the weekend's game, you know, some great 10 o'clocks. You know, I'm looking at Sheffield United, Everton, thinking, ooh, maybe this one's not going to be a great game. It was a lot of excitement. Both teams kind of went for it and then decided, I think they both settled with a point. You know, you have a weekend, Rob, where only two teams don't score goals. Chelsea, despite having spent over $1 billion, and Aston Villa, who had a bit of an off day. But everywhere else, there's goals, there's drama, there's action, there's something to talk about. And yeah, that's what makes the Premier League something special.
Yeah, and of course, Rob, which naturally follows on to that, is the game that we've just witnessed at the Etihad.
Yeah.
Or the Emirates, excuse me. Arsenal, Arsenal 3, Man United 1. I mean, just to continue your point about this league, and this, and maybe this fixture is a special fixture anyway, with the history that goes with it. But, I mean, what a game. What a game. What an atmosphere. What scenes at the end where Declan Rice scores and slides into the corner, and the atmosphere at that stadium was incredible, and the stories there. You know, whether it's defenders that are injured or, you know, new strikers making their debuts. Yeah. It was just a amazing spectacle, Rob. And that has to be where we start our little roundup on our podcast today. And it's a good shout, you know, just sort of reminding us how much this league gives us and how lucky we are, really, to watch it and to report on it. Let's go. There's so much to get into, Rob, but I think it's a good idea to start with a bigger picture thought. A bigger picture thought, Rob, at the end of that game, and we'll get into the details and some of the decisions and stuff like that, but give me a kind of summary of that game as a contest between Arsenal and Manchester United.
It's a good question, because I think Rebecca was going somewhere similar at half-time. In terms of the two teams, Rob, they were drawing at half-time. So they're in the same place in some respects in terms of scoreline, but in terms of pure football, in terms of grooved, rehearsed, coordinated play and build-up play and intensity, Arsenal were head and shoulders above Manchester United. Well, Manchester United's structure at time was reasonably good. They were a bit mechanical and clunky as they played forward, but it's a bit more of a counter-attack type thing that we saw West Ham do last week against Brighton, and that's okay. If you're controlling enough possession, if you're controlling enough of the opposition, so they're not scoring goals. So I don't want to be overcritical of United, but it's just that Arsenal's is much more pleasing on the eye. You kind of can see what they're trying to do. They needed big moments in the end, Robert. And just towards the end of the game, before the real drama kicked in, I said to Bex, it was 1-1, we were getting towards the end of normal time, I said, this time last year, Arsenal won this game, Bex. I said, that's where they've got to get to again. And Declan Rice is going to be a huge player for them, Rob. It's almost like he's made for these moments. It's what he's moved to this football club for. Yes, the Jesus one puts the icing on the cake. But that Declan Rice moment for him and his football club, I think, was hugely important going into an international break.
You know what's funny, Rob? Back on that, back kind of the rhythm, the flow of the game and stuff. And I agree. I mean, Arsenal, by the way, going back to the back four, the foundation of last season is night and day different. Yeah. I mean, it was it just looked better, felt better. Ben White going up the wing, some, you know, overlapping, supporting Bukayo Saka on that side. Zinchenko, I think, is a really brilliant footballer, really. Comes into midfield, is the extra man many times. I think you might have said that at half-time, Rob. He's the extra man. He knits everything together. So that looked immediately better. And to continue your point, Arsenal, in what they do, they are pretty grooved, particularly with that back four back in place. Mm. That being said, now, with Man United and Erik ten Hag, our understanding is that he wants to get to that type of level, right? Yeah. And style and dominance. And at the moment, for various reasons, they're not. I thought, Rob, that they actually were pretty solid defensively, for the most part. It went a bit crazy later when they had to make substitutions. And that's another thing with Manchester United right now. The injuries to defending players is pretty crazy. Yeah. And you bring in Johnny Evans and
Harry Maguire
to come into the game. I mean, it's like Leicester, flipping Leicester City of the early 2000s or whatever. So, I just thought Manchester United, Rob, were pretty strong defensively. And I thought, for the first time, Rashford, particularly Anthony, right? And this is where we've criticised him before. Yeah. Actually held back many, many times their fullbacks. Mm. Held back. And it was very much a 4-1-4-1, but those wide players in Rashford and Anthony really came back to help. Yeah. And Arsenal, Rob, for there was a couple of glaring chances. I made a note of them. The Arsenal chances and Kai Havertz when he fluffed it. He whiffed the ball and missed it. Bukayo Saka, that he should side foot a corner. Mm. Other than those two, which are brilliant chances, I thought Manchester United defended well. And as ever, Rob, they're a huge threat on the counter-attack. Yeah. Now, just as you sort of summarised the scoreline at 3-1, it could have been very different. Mm. Garnacho goes through, it's offside, he slots it in, you think, oh, this is a smash and grab, Man United are going to win 2-1. It just led, Rob, to the drama of the day, the game, and you can't take your eyes off this fixture. There was a period in the game where I'm like, not much going on, well done United, strong, able to cope with this Arsenal front line. And then we get the craziness at the end where Arsenal find a way through Declan Rice, who composed, Rob, brings the ball down, maybe off his face at the back post, and volleys it. It's a little deflection, and Anna can't save it. So, I think Man United ultimately want to get to where Arsenal look in terms of the possession, the territory, the control through the football, but they were forced onto the back foot because Arsenal is so good at moving the ball.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And as you say, when we looked at shots on goal, it wasn't a huge difference. I think Arsenal were 15, United were 12 or something. There wasn't a huge distance in shots on target. So, I think sometimes we can get carried away with just possession and keeping the ball. And as I say, I thought West Ham were a brilliant example last week of playing a Brighton team that you can control possession out of the not having the ball if the opposition aren't hurting you, Rob. And I thought, to a degree, you were right. I thought that without Varane and Martinez and Lindelof as a centre-back pair, and I thought Dalot and Wan-Bissaka as two full-backs, I thought they did particularly well. Goalkeeper's really confident. So different ways of getting to where they want to be. As you say, Ten Hag still got work to do, but it's about those moments, Rob, isn't it? And how big Declan Rice's moment was for Arsenal, because there's a bit of criticism that this, the rhythm's not been the same. And I did a little breakdown today and we talked about getting that back four in place. I would have played Jesus ahead of Nketiah. Nketiah didn't do bad, but Jesus, I think, is going to start being ready and pushing. And all of a sudden, I think it feels like Arsenal's rhythm's going to come and they can start to, put the performances along with the points.
Mm. Rob, just on Kai Havertz, right? Because I know he's a big story before it, and he became a big story in this game as well. Yeah. Just going through some of the things that we should probably talk about. The chance that he missed in the 13th minute was a pretty bad one. It was his giveaway,
correct?
For the Manchester United goal,
Eriksen
made the bad
away.
Pass in midfield. Yeah, and then the penalty incident of the three. I guess it goes down as a dive, Rob. Now, we didn't get a chance to have a post-game show today with so much going on with Big NBC, the network. We didn't. I thought Graham felt it shouldn't have been overturned. What do you think, Rob?
I thought it should. I thought it was a really big call by Anthony Taylor. I think I think once a referee goes over to the monitor, we're normally thinking he's giving the pen. But I actually thought he was spot on. I thought there was contact. If anything, was slightly instigated by Havertz, who's only trying to run, but he's gone to... I think, you know, he goes down. I didn't think it was a penalty kick. I didn't think it was a particular dive. And I thought the referee was brave. And I thought he got it right in overturning the... That it was a clear and obvious error. Yeah. It was an error that Wan-Bissaka didn't make that contact and that guy Havertz went down.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I think, you know... And I think Graham's point was, wow, it's not a, you know, it's just how much is a clear and obvious error, isn't it? I mean, I think if we all re-refereed it, we're all saying the same thing. Mm. But of course, we don't want to get into every time there's an incident that we all re-referee and figure out, you know, it's just for clear and obvious errors. And I actually understand Graham's point. Mm. Like, was it that much of a howler of a decision? There was a little bit of contact.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, Rob. I think it was enough for it to be a clear and obvious error. It did go to ground very quickly. And you watched the Man United two players that came in.
Yeah.
They were really, really trying not to make a contact on the player. So that was interesting. But just quickly on him, Rob, to finish up on Kai Havertz. Yeah. Any signs of progression there? You know, is he just looked like he's struggling to have any impact?
I said after the game to Bex that the only downside for me if I'm Mikel Arteta is all the good moments came when Kai Havertz was off the pitch, mate. He whiffs one in the first half. He gives a ball away that leads to United's first goal. Like the penalty might have been a big moment that if he'd have won it, he didn't get it. The only good thing now is he got a 2-week break. They've got a bit of momentum. There's a bit of noise around Arsenal. It's almost like, can we take him out the firing line? I'd be very surprised in the next Arsenal game he's in the starting 11.
I think he will be.
Do you?
I think he's going to... Yeah,
he's
got to
try and nurse him through it.
I don't think he's
going
to... Yeah, I don't think... By pushing him out of the team so soon, who's he going to play in there? Fabio Vieira? You know, I think he's going to give Kai Rob a little bit more
shot
time.
To you? Does he not look a little bit shot? So I like the confidence. I mean, the one he whiffs, Rob, isn't that it gets away from him. It basically is the ball's there and he tries to hit it too early. I just wonder where, you know, there's doubt in his head and I think it's almost affecting him.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe, mate. But I think Havertz now is experienced enough. He's been around enough to know that, you know, he didn't have a great time at Chelsea. Yeah, he's been in this situation before. I think he'll continue, and I think Mikel Arteta
will be
a little bit a little bit stubborn about it. Rob, he might be a bit stubborn. You know what? I'm not giving up on him yet. Yeah. You know, he just needs a goal. He almost got one. You know, went through. He created a penalty that was overturned. I mean, I feel that.
I'm hoping we'll see.
Just another couple. Yeah, another couple of players, Rob. But maybe before we go on to Man United. Am I being a bit harsh/picky if I say that Saka and Martinelli have been a bit off, been a bit quiet, been a bit quite as effective, as dangerous as they normally... I mean, I know Man United defended well for the most part, wide areas, particularly Wan-Bissaka's good, isn't he, against Martinelli.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you expect a little bit more from him in these first four games?
I know what you're saying, and I think the standards are so high that maybe they would say...
Yeah.
Bissaka's not quite been a shot. He should have scored, Rob. It was a lovely move that ended up with the ball came to him and he took it first time. Probably had time to take a touch, but didn't get a good contact. Not quite on top of his game. A little bit collectively as the team were. I think that back four back in, I think Ben White behind him, Rob, will help him. Him, Odegaard and Saka on that side. They've got a really good understanding. So I hear your point. I think we might be being a little bit picky, you know, on a young man who's got, you know, who's had some brilliant moments and going to have many more going forward.
You got a couple of goals already. So just again, Rob, just on Arsenal, it felt like, don't know, they found it, that's a big win for them. Yeah, that is. It's a big
huge
win. Feel good factor is back. They've been a bit shaky the first three games, for the most part. Does it feel like Arsenal now can find their best form and get back to the level that they're at for the majority of last year?
I think so, mate, because I think they needed a moment. They needed something collective. They needed that rise, knee slide into the fans going crazy, the Jesus game, the beating of Man United. They needed this to kickstart them, to regain a bit of that belief again and that confidence of who they are and how they do things. And I think you're right. And I think the break's coming at the perfect time. From players will go away. They'll come back and they'll be ready to go. They're away at Everton, I believe. It's a late kickoff on Saturday, the 16th, when we get back. You'd expect him to go to Everton. Although, remember last season, Sean Dyche, was it? First win for Everton or something against Arsenal.
Yeah. Just on Man United, Rob, what... Rasmus Højlund, we've got to look at him later on, and I think we know what he's going to be like. He's going to be direct and skillful. He actually had a nice flick for their goal ruled back with for the offside. Give me some thoughts on Manchester United from today.
It's indicative of who and where Manchester United are, that Anthony Martial is still wearing the number 9 shirt and with still a reliance on him. Like, Anthony, is there any chance you might be able to get us a goal today? We've had 8 years. I asked our research guys. It's 8 years, Rob, since he came to the football club, scoring goals early on. I think it was Louis van Gaal was in charge, and you know, we were thinking, well, we got a star here, and it's never quite happened for him. And Højlund looks a player. We've seen a little bit of tape. He's got physicality. He's left-footed. Obviously, he's had a little bit of an injury, but he looked nice and short when he come on. Things happened around him. So I just felt as though, like, you know, if they can get him right, Anthony, I thought, put more into the game than I've seen him. Rashford got his goal that was important. And then, you know, the balance in midfield, Eriksen is important to the football club. So I think these brighter days ahead for United. But it's going to be kind of slow progress. And they've got to, you know, they've got to find the balance. They've got to get you know, the right chemistry between the team. You know, Mason Mount, where does he fit then once he gets fit again? Is it instead of Eriksen?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're right. I think the defensive side of it now with the injuries, you know, I'm not sure what Lindelof's injury was today, and Martinez is the best defender at the club. Again, I don't know the full details of the injuries, but, you know, you got Maguire and Johnny Evans in the crucial moments of a game away at Arsenal. It's just not ideal. It's just not ideal. And, you know, that's when those late goals came, apart from the attacking situation. It might be that Rasmus Højlund, you know, and I don't... It shouldn't be on him to spark their season, but it might be about him, Rob. I mean, Marcus Rashford got his goal today, and of course he needs to be a regular scorer, else you just can't see that many goals coming from the front line. So it will be about Højlund and how good he is and how quickly he can settle and how confident he can be and how... You know, the crowd can get behind him, and Erik ten Hag can find his best stuff early on, because that might be, you know, determines how their season goes. But right now, I mean, we're going to go and talk about some other clubs that are struggling a little bit. Man United still, they look short in a few areas. To be fair, defensive injuries are not helping. But I thought in terms of their first games, Rob, that may be the most solid they've looked. I know they lost 3-1 with the late goals there, but at least I thought there was a bit of structure and about shape compared to some of the other ones where, you know, they've looked, the performances were a lot worse.
Yeah, it was interesting today, and I thought Casemiro picked up a couple of interesting spots. At times he dropped in between the two centre-backs. Looked to be better, looked back to his game a little bit more. So, still more improvement needed, but United, I think we've all said, Rob, still a work in progress very much, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. We'll see. We'll see. You know, it'll be good, maybe a good break for them to get a little bit of rest, and the players will go off on international duty and come back.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, mate, let's switch it up to Anfield and Liverpool. Very comfortable 3-0 victory against Aston Villa. Szoboszlai goal, a left foot, kind of a slight deflection, but a left foot half volley shot. Then Matty Cash has an own goal where Darwin Nunez probably should score, hits the post, comes off of the defender to go in. And Mo Salah scores on the 55th minute to make it 3-0.
Yeah.
Just a very, there's just not a ton.
No.
It was so good from Liverpool, so comfortable. Shockingly, I mean, Aston Villa, like, this is kind of different, Rob, where we're getting a good Villa on some days, and we've had a couple of really bad Villas now, where they continue to continue with this high line and this really compact nature of the team. It's really noticeable, Rob, when you see it, on TV from the main camera, where they are so kind of compact. And that must be, but it just leaves all that space in behind the back four.
Yeah.
And again, Liverpool were like loving that, just clipping balls over the top. And I don't like it from Villa. Mm. It's not working. That's two games we've seen it now. Of course, we're at St. James's Park, where they got bashed 4-1 with balls over the top. I'll continue with that, Rob, with the Villa. Are they at risk of going back a couple of steps here?
Well, let me try and maybe give some reasoning behind, most of what you say that I agree with. Injuries is a problem to him, Rob. Tyrone Mings. Today, Carlos came off after 19 minutes when they were in a back three with wing backs. They ended up going to a back four there. I didn't think suited him and helped them. Away to a top six team, a bit like Newcastle, who've got pace in the attack. Like you say, that high line maybe might need addressing. I didn't think, I talked before the game of how much I've enjoyed what Unai Emery done, their structure, Rob, their organisation. I've watched a bit of video and said they're one of the best teams out possession in the league because they know how to, shut you off, have triggers, win the ball, counter-attack, all that stuff. We saw none of it today, to be honest, mate. None of it. Got outnumbered in midfield, too much pace in the attack, no real threat. Diaby had a couple of moments, but no real threat in the attacking areas. And just really, really disappointing. I didn't hear from Unai Emery after the game, but I can imagine, knowing how he works and knowing how he prides himself on his organisation and structure, he'd have been really disappointed with that today.
I think they've lost a little spark of energy, Rob. I mean, very disappointing, but I got to say, no fight, no determination. Like, it's almost like, we tactically, we do this, and, but when there was no real reaction to going behind in the game, and they offered a little. My main thought was they offered nothing, Villa today, offered nothing at Anfield. Strong side Aston Villa. Liverpool are still finding their feet with the guys in midfield and that, and a few changes to the front areas and stuff. I just beyond disappointed for Aston Villa.
Yeah.
And the fact that there was, it was almost like going through the motions a little bit. This is how we play. And working today. They got in behind. They've scored. Oh, they scored again. Okay, and going to be our day. I just think the Villa fans would have come away from Liverpool there, Rob, and like, wow, we didn't really give anything. We didn't lay a glove. We didn't get a sweat on. We didn't look like we were competitive or wanted to be competitive or get back in the game from being behind. Jurgen Klopp made all the subs, millions of subs in the second half. When you're 3-0 up and it looks comfortable and other players got minutes and it was like a blooming friendly game. That always worries me if a game is so comfortable that you can make subs and there's no issue, there's no drama, there's no fear of any kind of comeback from Villa. I just thought they chucked up the white flag, gave up a little bit of Villa in the second half, and
it just felt a little bit like the Newcastle game, Rob, though, in some respects. Very similar kind of played out to Liverpool, and they've got to be careful that when they play the better teams, they put up a better fight in things, really.
I just think, like you said about the midfield, Rob, they had no answer to that area.
No.
I'm just looking down at my notes, so I'm just thinking that I wanted to give Trent a bit of a mention. Trent Alexander-Arnold, I thought, had a good game.
Yeah.
No,
we were
going
to do a breakdown
drama
on him, and then we had to do the Man United and an Arsenal game. But we did a little breakdown, Rob, where it was interesting. Like, you know, he's coming into midfield. A couple of times, I'll tell you what happens. Matip goes it right back, and he plays almost from a central defensive role, but given the ball. Played a couple of balls out to Diaz on the left, played a couple of great balls out to Salah on the right, one of which got Salah in for the second goal. It's almost like they're finding different ways to get Trent in position where they can get him on the ball.
Yeah, and we know he's got a great passing range, brilliant passing range. But we've often seen that, you know, with the other side of it, juxtaposed, I suppose, if you like, with the defensive side, where there's been issues. There's no defensive drama for Trent today.
No.
I thought a couple of times he worked really hard to do his defensive duties, and then, of course, he adds the quality in midfield. So, you know, times we have jumped on him a little bit, I thought, today, and Liverpool defensively in general.
I was just going to say, defensively for Liverpool, I wanted to go there. Gomez and Matip. Gomez had a couple of little moments when he slipped once and didn't play a back pass. But I just thought, those two, Rob, it's important to get a clean sheet. It's important to get real competition in the back line for Liverpool. You know, they've gone away from that, haven't they? They're hard to score against. They're hard to play against. And I thought it was a good day. You know, three goals at the top end of the pitch and none conceded at the others.
Darwin, just last mention, Rob. Darwin Nunez, you know, did so well in the last game, scoring two goals against Newcastle.
Go there, actually,
a lot of people saying it's a big moment and it's you know, it's a turning point and all that. I mean, he continues. I mean, my thought was, played well today, but didn't take his chances.
No goals.
Like,
he had good
chances
to score. Couldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, would you continue with him, Rob, for a little stretch of running games now? Half a dozen games to see if he can get some.
Maybe a bit like you're saying with Havertz. I think the upside is there. I think his pace and his sweating behind is good. I think his interplay with the likes of Salah and that is improving. I think his game appreciation. I think that the threat over the top, Rob, helps the midfield players because you've got to, you know, drop a little deeper than maybe if Gakpo's up there. I don't think Gakpo offers the same raw pace in behind. So, yeah, I'm not sure Jurgen Klopp's the guy who says, right, you've got six games, but I would like to be see team being given a little run and not feel like if I have one bad game, I'm out of the team. You know, give him three, four, five games and let's see, you know, can he get three, four, five goals and all of a sudden beat another... Another source of goals for Liverpool, because if they can get him right, Rob, with Salah, Diaz and Gakpo and this midfield that's been built, it starts to look not bad, you know, by the way.
I know. Ryan Gravenberch is the new, the 21-year-old central midfield player, was in attendance, I believe, today. He's obviously
got a couple
coming
of shots
to as well.
Of him,
but I think
you're
right. If Nunes starts scoring goals, and that spirit starts to come back, and that belief starts to come back, and Jurgen Klopp at the end going to the cop and everything else. I mean, they can be in this. They can be in this thing. But I think, you know, they need a regular, other than Salah and the other guys, they need that number nine to be getting goals. So well done, Liverpool. You know, that's encouraging. That's encouraging for Liverpool fans to see. They want their team back fighting at the top of the Premier League to challenge at Man City. Maybe they can do it, Rob. So, yeah, maybe they can do it this year if they can... figure out that midfield and get it really grooved and consistent. The rest of the team, again, the defensive side of it is an important thing for Liverpool. But really good, really easy against Aston Villa.
Yeah, the mentality monsters are getting a bit of momentum. Let's take to the Amex, to Brighton versus Newcastle. Both teams came off poor results last weekend. Brighton getting beat by West Ham. Newcastle losing to Liverpool. Interesting game this one at the Amex, Rob, because I kind of feel as though, you know, two teams who were battling in similar areas of the table, different ways of playing, you know, Brighton wanting possession and will build it up. Newcastle with a bit more intensity and maybe power to their game. A little disappointing for Newcastle, Rob. Like, I'm going to give Brighton the credit first, but from Newcastle's point of view, not a particularly good day.
Football versus physicality. Football won.
Yeah,
football
absolutely.
Won, Rob. It was a day for football. Mm. It's for purists. It was for possession. It was for the ball over the physicality and the power that Newcastle have. And I've loved watching Newcastle, Rob, and that power, particularly last season. You know, it's three defeats now for Newcastle.
Yeah.
I just wonder if there's a bit of a pause by Eddie Howe, and couldn't like, you know, speaking on, you know, like, Can I physically ask these players to be at that energy
intensity,
best,
yeah,
and still win games all the time, all the time. I think to go to the next level, Rob, they've got to be better with the ball, keep the ball better, better football, because you know they're not at the same energy level as we were last year. This was a bit embarrassing at times in terms of possession. The Brighton football, I mean, and they can do that. They can do that to any team. I just like the front line of Brighton: Rob Mitoma, João Pedro, Evan Ferguson, Solly March. There's a front four that, you know, there's a bit of everything with that: physicality, youth, skill, pace, creativity, quality. Solly March with that left foot on the inside. You know, wherever you looked, I just really like the Brighton. You know, and what they're doing without Caicedo, McAllister, Colwell, that was an important part towards the second half of the season.
Incredible,
I mean, it's, you know, they brushed Newcastle away, Rob, given all those changes and the fire, the style, the entertainment, the football that they played. It continued. I mean, they had an off week last time, Brighton, but I thought they were excellent.
Yeah, again, I couldn't agree more. The football, the belief in what they do, the understanding throughout the team, Rob, the threat at the top of the pitch, and we have to talk about the 18-year-old freak at the top of the pitch, mate, who they've sold, what, $146 million, was it, Caicedo, British record? If this fella stays on the trajectory, it'll be more. Goal scorer, his age, potential, it'll be more, more. And it's a credit to them. It's a great response to the defeat against West Ham, where they had so much possession. Was it 25 shots in the game? Their numbers are incredible, Rob. Their shots on target. Their entries into the attacking third are just off the charts. I think, you know, best in the league by some distance. And they continue to play the same way, whether they're playing Newcastle at the top of the table, or they're playing a Sheffield United or a Burnley at the bottom of the table. They'll play the same way. And it's a credit to him and the staff and the players that they can continue to do this.
What I like about it, Rob, right? I mean, you might have mentioned this before, but what I like about Roberto De Zerbi is that it's pretty obvious that he's worked really hard, thought about for a long, long time how to build up the football from the back to the front. And of course, a lot of it they play out from the back, but when that's all tight, and the reason that's all tight is that the opponents push right into them, right into the faces, and then they've got this secondary idea of rolling the ball up to João Pedro or number nine, whoever it is, who can't have the in front protection because they've all pressed the ball.
But I
love it. I think, like, it's super smart. So if you're an opponent, Rob, you got to figure out, first of all, can we press them to stop them playing through us?
Yeah.
And then, can we get somebody in front of that striker? And there's often two strikers. I don't know whether that's possible. So it's really, really clever. And I just wanted to, you know, next time anybody's listening or watches Brighton, just study the way that they try and play out. And then there's always another little, okay. And sometimes it's got to be a chip ball. But often, it's often a ball that's laid along the floor. The striker gets himself between the opponent and the ball, protects it, and they're out in a different way. So two ways of doing it. Really impressive stuff. And, you know, Evan Ferguson, Rob, I mean, 18-year-old, you know, is getting a lot of the plaudits and the adulation, of course, super young. And I know the De Zerbi, Rob, I think you mentioned it, that he's been a bit careful with him and taking his time with bringing him into the side. But I want to chuck in my weekend's underappreciated performer. And it's not Evan Ferguson, because he is going to get tons of appreciation. I love the performance of little Billy Gilmore in the middle of the park.
Little Billy.
You know, a player that was formerly... Little Billy was a formerly a Chelsea Football Club and was drowned out a little bit and had some games where he was superb. But talk about a player that's absolutely perfect for De Zerbi and manoeuvring the ball, making good decisions, good passing range, sharp, doesn't get caught. He's always looking behind him, scanning the field. Very, very clever little footballer. And somebody that, you know, with Brighton, I'm not sure he's... Well, maybe he will be in the future, Rob, is adored as some of the other midfield players, the McAllisters and the Caicedos, of stuff that we'll talk about Caicedo next to Chelsea. But I just thought Billy Gilmore's performance and what he does, it is it is kind of why we do this thing at weekends, Rob, the underappreciated, because he does good make shout. Brighton tick right now. He is good the shout. Guy. And I thought he had an excellent game. Do you want to give him a mention?
Yeah, it's a really good shout. I think he's enjoying his football, Rob. We saw him break in at Chelsea and, you know, play European games. I think he's going to be a star. And then it didn't quite work. Didn't, you know, he went to Brighton, wasn't really regular. So it's a great shout amongst many who were, you know, who've moved and names. Yeah, Billy Gilmore's a good shout. Just in finishing on this one, mate, and this was my thought of the weekend. I went back home, watched a bit of highlights, and you see some stuff. And I was thinking with De Zerbi and Eddie Howe, because they've both gone into football clubs and both made drastic changes and improved both football clubs. But I was thinking with De Zerbi, Rob, he's almost given his Brighton players a manual. And it's probably got five or six chapters on it and how they're going to play and how they're going to break down opposition. And if opposition do this, we do that. Eddie Howe's gone into Newcastle and he's got a manual, but he's probably only got one, maybe two chapters. They play one or two ways in it, and if that doesn't work, and that's where I was just thinking that maybe that's where Eddie's got to, you know, start to think about other ways of playing games, and that, you know, the deserving manual of having, you know, it almost looks to me, whatever the opposition do, De Zerbi's team have got a plan, got a solution to it. I don't get the same sense sometimes with Newcastle, and that's, you know, something they've got to be wary of.
Yeah, great point. It's a brilliant point. It's a good way of saying it, Rob, and I totally agree. The physicality intensity is what we picked up on.
Yeah.
Eddie Howe's talked about it. But you're right. I think for them to evolve, and I've got to know here, how did Newcastle evolve? More than just physicality, ? And that's what you're talking about, and I totally agree with that. Also, I would say now, Rob, it's probably time for some team changes. You get three defeats.
Yeah.
I know Eddie Howe is—he trusts his players, and he wants them to, I guess, play themselves out of the side before anybody comes in. Yeah. You've got Callum Wilson, who came on, looked sharp as attack for me, Rob. He looked really sharp. He scored a goal,
of
course, later on. Harvey Barnes, Elliot Anderson, time for them to get some minutes. And you know, I don't mind a manager sticking with players. Miguel Almirón is one that I'm thinking of straight away.
Anthony Gordon.
He's had flashes, but at this point, three losses, they haven't really got an argument now, Rob. After it's four games, you know, haven't done too much. So I made one or two changes. I expect to come from them. So, you know, yeah, they're defensively so strong last year. And one last point, Rob, on this, and I don't know whether it's anything to do with it. One last point on Newcastle, Rob. This Champions League group that they've got, it's so exciting for the fans. And the Champions League is going to be so new, so brilliant, so anticipated, so exciting for everybody, particularly the games at St. James's Park. Is there a danger that the players are thinking more about achieving in that competition, in that group, than, well, like last year, well, that's not in their mindset.
Yeah,
they just love the Premier League.
It's a good point.
Yeah, we see it before, Robert.
You're going to play in Paris, you're going to play in Dortmund, you're going to play in Milan, you know, as well as those games at St. James's Park. And I think, you know, we had a production call a few weeks ago and Peter Drury said exactly the same thing. He wonders if those big Tuesday and Wednesday nights in Europe and then you go Saturday, you know, are they going to get as up for that? That's something Eddie's going to do. And maybe you're right. Maybe competition for places, maybe changing one or two people around might just be, you know, what has to happen.
Yeah, livener.
Let's move it on to Chelsea, my friend. Chelsea 0, Nottingham Forest 1. Oh. I want to start with Nottingham Forest because there's plenty to talk on Chelsea and it's easy to talk about what Chelsea didn't do. Let's talk about Nottingham Forest, my friend, Steve Cooper. And seven players coming in on the deadline, losing Brennan Johnson for $60 million to Spurs on the last day of the deadline. You know, getting his business done, keeping his head down, working with his team. Awani, Danilo and Gibbs White at the top end of the pitch causing problems. Ilanga comes on for Danilo, gets a goal, they hang on to it, they keep a clean sheet. And just the sense, Rob, that, you know, Forest are getting used to, accustomed to what the Premier League offers.
Yeah, they are, Rob, and I think, you know, the shape, we've seen the shape before, Rob, and this is why it's so different for us to last year. They took months to find out what their thing was going to be. We know what it is now. So in a game like this, we get away at a big club. It's five at the back, it's four in midfield, narrow, and it's one up front. 5-4-1, narrow, very narrow. They don't mind being super deep as well.
Correct.
You know, a little bit part of the bus-ish a little bit sometimes. But when you go to Chelsea, why not? With the money that they've spent. I thought they were very, very strong. Anthony Elanga, Rob, is a brilliant signing.
Yeah.
It's just a brilliant signing. And he was, I guess he was available for many other clubs.
Todd Bowley must look at all those billions he spent, by the way, and look at that kid Elanga and go, ooh, ooh, there's one we missed.
Yeah, and I was interested with the interview he did afterwards, Rob, and he said, and I quote here, "I'm someone who wants to score goals." Now, I know maybe that sounds silly, like all players want to score goals, but no, when you're a wide player, you're a wide midfield player, you know, sometimes it's more about other things, but the modern day wide forward in football has got to be a goal scorer. And I like the fact that he's willing to say that, "I want to score goals." That's just something I want to be. Come on, he's very, very quick. He's very cool in front of goal. He's probably going to start, Rob, isn't he, soon? I mean,
you would think so.
I don't know. At some point, he's going to come into the game for one of those four. Probably Danilo, Rob, maybe, to come in. Gibbs White, we both really like him. And they've got a striker. They've got a striker.
Yeah.
They've got a striker to score goals. So defensive toughness. I thought he defended brilliantly against Chelsea that struggled to create too much. We know the manager's smart enough. You know, Forest's going to be all right this year. They're going to be okay. And with all the blipping signings they've made, you know, some of them are going to work out great. Elanga is somebody who's going to work out great. So I thought he adds to this not on the Forest side. But you're right. Maybe you're right to mention them first. Great win for them.
Yeah, and you know, again, sneaked past me, Divock Origi on loan, I believe, from AC Milan, late bit of business. You know, Divock, who doesn't love him? Two little things, Rob, just to mention before we get into Chelsea, because that's obviously a bigger story. Yeah. One, Steve Cooper said the only bad decision he made in the game was to wear a woolly jumper, and he was sweating that much. I don't know if you saw in the second half, he had a towel with him, kept toweling himself down. Didn't quite believe it was going to be so hot in the thing. And a slightly more serious point, Joe Worrell, the captain of Nottingham Forest, don't know if you read the backstory, that he played in the game at the weekend, captained the team, and wanting to make sure he got the 3 points for Forest. But on Thursday, his uncle, who's a policeman, was involved in trying to save somebody who was on a train tracks and got hit himself by a train track and died on the Thursday ahead of the game.
Blimey.
And I think Steve Cooper gave him the option to not be involved, and he said, "No, I want to do the right thing." And I saw the story yesterday and just thought, you know, Joe Wall deserves a special mention, you know, and the spirit of what Nottingham Forest and it means to this team and these players and that club. So, tip of the hat to Joe Wall, and our commiserations, obviously, losing a close member of his family. Let's turn things to Chelsea, my friend, and Mauricio Pochettino, and you know the new Notts Forest in terms of signing as many players as they can, having to find the chemistry, having to build the relationships, having to bring some consistency to the group. This Rob, to me, felt like the Graham Potter Chelsea watching. Possession, not really creating chances, not turning stuff in, no real chemistry and rhythm about what they were doing. No. It felt like a backward step, mate.
Robert, I'm sorry, Chelsea fans, but I think this is going to be a tough year. I think it's going to be a tough year.
Yeah.
No, I do. I don't see enough consistent quality in the front areas. I think Nicholas Jackson will get the odd goals from running in behind. He'll get some tap-ins, and a lot will be expected of Raheem Sterling, that was a little quieter today in this game and didn't have the same impact. Enzo Fernandez playing in a higher role. He's a lovely footballer, Rob. Should he be doing more as an attacking... Yeah. He's one of an attacking three, really. Yeah. Enzo, Sterling and
Jackson
up front. Got to get goals
from somewhere, haven't they? Got to get midfield goals from somewhere.
Enzo's not a scorer, is he? He's not a big he's not a big scorer. I think I'd rather have Gallagher up in that position. Yeah. That's got more, you know. And Caicedo, by the way. I mean, you know what's interesting, Rob? Right, and this is what Rebecca said to us about a week ago or something when you know Caicedo's move went through. I don't know whether she said it on air, whether we were chatting off air. She said, you know, that's a huge fee.
Yeah,
and I've never really heard you guys glowingly talk about Caicedo and De Bruyne. Now, I know we don't get Brighton as much to really, really study as the bigger teams that we do in the studio stuff. But I thought, she's kind of right there. I think we like, he's a really good player, Caicedo. He's good age and he's athletic. He breaks up the play. He makes good decisions on the board. He can play in different positions. So, you know, but she's right, Rob. Like, we haven't really, like, wow. Like, we have a Declan Rice. Yeah, like, well, before with Declan Rice, we're like, what a player. What a Rolls Royce. Yeah. Mm. So, he had a good start to Chelsea, Rob.
No.
He's not had a good start. And again, like, if I'm knee-jerking a little bit, maybe. But he made a mistake. Was he a mistake for the goal? Or
he got caught in possession, didn't he?
Tell me
he's better. Turnover in possession in midfield, I think, yeah.
Yeah, he gave a bad touch.
Yeah, and they got possession. I mean, I think long term, I think it's good business. I think he's a young man. He's probably a little bit inconsistent. He's not helped by what's around him, the instability of the team. We've got one season body of work, Rob, that Bex is right. I think a lot of people saw a lot of good things. He ticks a lot of data box, Rob, in terms of, you know, what he covers and interceptions and things. Yeah. So that is, you know, is all good. Yeah. But sometimes you want to see something with your eye. You want to see those relationships. You want to see something that you go, oh, okay, that's what he's really good at. And listen, he's two games in. You know, he had the bad day when he came on against West Ham. He didn't have a particularly good day there. There's going to be good days with Caicedo, and he's going to be important, I think, to the football club as he grows and develops. Yeah. But you're right. Yeah. You know, for $146 million, it hasn't quite started as you would like for Chelsea and for Mauricio Pochettino. And again, he's got to find the balance. Is Gallagher going to be the guy who plays next to him? Is Lavia going to come into him? Another young guy who... We don't really know what their level is, Rob. We don't know what their consistency is. Are they an 8 out of 10 guy every week, or are they going to be a 6 and then a 9?
Yeah, could be. Listen, Rob, from day one, I've said about this never been done before experiment at Chelsea Football Club. Never been done before, where you're trying to pick the best players around the world.
Yeah.
There have been big fees, long contracts to come into this club, and the manager's got to try and mould and make a team. Never seen it before, with this amount of change at once. There's no foundation. There's no history of this is what worked for us in a particular season. It's a whole new team. And all these young players with massive fees, we said it from day one. Oftentimes, Rob, and I, you know, the young players come into the league with a massive expectation, and for whatever reason, they haven't quite been able to do it. And I worry that Chelsea, that they might have bought a few of them. One great example is Mikhailo Mudryk, of course, was a player that they were desperate to get, high fee. I'm like, wow. I remember saying, like, this guy needs to work. Like, this is a big fee. They spent a long time getting him. He hasn't really done it. He's an example, Rob, of a player that, you know, in his previous club and stuff, looks like $1 million. But oftentimes when you jump up to this level, this incredibly physical, difficult, you know, challenging level, that some of these young players are not that good. And you know, you got the likes of Thiago Silva, proven, can do it. Yeah. Raheem Sterling, proven, can do it. Ben Chilwell, proven, can do it.
Reece, I mean, James,
and the Reece others, James, yeah. they, you know, with your Caicedos and your Gustos and your Jackson and your Dizazis and all these new players, apart from Chukwueze, who actually looks pretty good. Yeah. And also, Rob, Chukwueze is one's missing, and Christopher Nkunku.
Yeah.
Nkunku.
Yeah.
It's not as though Chelsea can say, yeah, but when we get our, you know, our main strikers, this is it. This is kind of, Nkunku is the comeback. Chukwueze I really like, but again, he's another one of those kind of Gallagher Enzos.
Yeah.
What are they?
What's their thing?
Yeah. Matt Turner, Rob. Matt Turner, the US international goalkeeper for Nottingham Forest, new signing, didn't have much to do.
No.
Didn't have much to do. Mm. Amazing.
Just on that mob, and I'll go back to what I said, I think, when we started a conversation a couple of years ago. I'm feeling that this is a 2 year to get competitive, Rob. I think it's a 2 year process. I think this year is about finding out about some of those guys and are they good enough and what they're going to be and what do they offer the team, and then it's about building on from there. Just want to throw one more name at you before we move it on to Manchester City. I want to throw Cole Palmer at you, my friend. Another one.
Yeah, Cole, he looked
Palmer.
All right.
Yeah, he looked all right. But bought from Man City.
He had a few touches.
For big money, young player who was allowed to leave City, and you know that's fine from City's point of view. They get a good fee. Do you see Cole Palmer making their first 11 regularly? Does he go from Man City's bench to Chelsea's first team, or is he going to go from Man City's bench to Chelsea's bench?
No, I think he'll get a lot more opportunities, Rob, but I thought he had a little bit of something different when he came in. He's got a little bit of craft about his game and his little bit of quality. But again, it's a young player that we like. Well, we think he's going to be great, like Mudryk, like Enzo, like so many others.
Yeah.
But are they going to be great? And I think with the nature of young players, Rob, what do we always say about young players? Yeah, they can be inconsistent. Well, you've got a whole team of them. You got a whole team of it. So Poch has got a job on to try and find a formula. And I think the quicker he goes from a back five to a back four, Rob.
Yeah, which he wants
the better
to do.
To have another.
Yeah.
He's got to turn up. You know, I'm very much about the attacking and defensive dials. You know that. He's got to turn up the attacking dial. Examples of people turning up the attacking dial. Roberto De Zerbi at Brighton turns the attacking dial right up. Ange Postecoglou at Tottenham, attacking dial right up. You know, obviously you've got to be smart about it. You don't want to be gung-ho and concede a load of goals. But I feel like you can't have 2 years, Rob, of Chelsea struggling, toiling to score
and
home
changing
against
and
some of the lower.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am a bit concerned about Chelsea and their possibility of getting anywhere near the top four, anywhere near it. I don't know if they're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think we all know it's a project, and Poch is the right guy, but he's going to need the patience.
Yep.
Poch, project, patience, all the P's, my friend, all the P's.
Correct.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Let's move to Manchester City, who are getting all the wins. Four straight wins in four games, only unbeaten team in the league. Again, setting the standard, although normally they don't start quite as well and then hit form mid-season and kick on. This could and was not an easy game at 1-0, 1-1. Fulham got back into the game, but I'm going to point you to the second goal, Rob, because there's been a lot of talk about the RK header that, is it Akanji who's in front of the goalkeeper as the ball gets headed towards goal? And it went to VAR and VAR suggested that he wasn't interfering or wasn't in the line of sight of the goalkeeper, so the goal stood. Yeah. A lot of Fulham fans unhappy, a lot of general people thinking that isn't right, shouldn't be right, and that as he jumps out the way, it affects the way the goalkeeper. I've got to be honest, Rob, I feel the same. Yeah. It don't quite look and feel right to me. I know that you might say you can see the ball, but anybody who's jumping past the ball that I'm going to dive at is affecting me.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, Rob. And when because this is one of that window with all the games going on at the same time, Rob, and I know that you showed the highlights, and I'm sat at home because I wasn't in the studio this weekend, and I'm like, he's offside. The guy there's offside. And then, of course, we didn't make a big thing of it. I'm like, wow, he must have touched the ball. And I had a quick look at the replays. And, well, he's not really interfered. He's not in the sight of the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But I agree. And I think there is something in the offside law where, if you're close to the ball, he absolutely... I mean, how does the goalkeeper's ability to play the ball?
Yeah,
it does. It does, because he doesn't know if he's going to if he's going to get a deflection on it. So he has to set himself for a deflection. If he is not anywhere near that ball and has no possibility of playing it, he dives.
He's a better attempt
to
save
that ball in a different way. So I totally agree. And I thought when we didn't show it a lot, and I thought,
it was one of those days where that 10 o'clock window was so busy, I'm about to get to stuff. But the more I saw it and went and looked at it a couple of times last night, I understand why Marco Silva and Fuller are not happy. A man who is happy, Erling Haaland, hat-trick, second half hat-trick again for the monster, who just continues to break records and improve new numbers. Ominous signs, Rob, for the league and for the others, the rest of the pack.
Yeah, it is. It is, Rob. And, the deadline, right, has gone through now, the transfer deadline. And, I know at the start of the season, we have our prediction of who's going to win the title. And, I thought Arsenal could do it. Given the window's shut now and the way that City have added, they've added a couple of players kind of late that they don't normally do. Yeah, I mean, they've replaced, I like Nunes kid from Wolves. Mateus Nunes, Rob. I think he's a different sort of wiry, athletic, little dribbles out of situations. Between what they've bought now, and I know they've lost, a couple of players, I can't see anybody beating him, Rob. I can't. No. And I'd love to stick with Arsenal, but I think, if we were asked a question again, given the window shut, and we always say that at the start, let's go again at when the window closes. When you think about the physicality and being over there, going over there to watch them play and the physicality of that team, Rob, and we saw them at Burnley on the opening weekend of the season, the opening day on that Friday, and given what they've done in the market late, I when you've got that guy up front, Rob, and he's hungry to bang in the goals, you've got a better defensive line with Guardiola that's slotted in pretty nicely. You've got some of the best defenders in the league right across there, plus backups. You've added to the midfield's got a different take now on it. Kevin De Bruyne is still out. Phil Foden's kind of looked like he's ready to step up and be that connecting player to the striker up front. You've got Doku, who's the quickest man in the world. He's got a brilliant dribbling record and stats on that side of things. Plus everybody else, I didn't even look really closely at this game because we had the Chelsea game. I think that was a 10 o'clock window. All the games going on at the same time. Your head's exploding when I've got the screens and stuff. So I can't study it closely. But the numbers tell you, the squad tells you, the market tells you what they've done, what they've added, what they've lost and what they've brought in. They're going to be very, very difficult to beat this year. I think they're going to win it again.
Yeah, and Pep's been off with his back for a couple of weeks, but normal service resumed. He gets a break, the international break. He comes back, mate, and they'll be ready to go again. And I said it from day one. I still think, even without a great start, they're going to be. We're looking now at teams that might be up to close. We talk about Liverpool, talk about Arsenal, big wins today. Are they going to be able to go close to the City team and push them? Let's move it to Turf Moor, mate. Burnley 2, Tottenham 5. Another hat-trick. It was a day of three hat-tricks for Evan Ferguson, Erling Haaland and Heung-min Son. Sonny getting his goals. Played up top, actually, Rob, which was interesting. No Richarlison in the team. So played him as a central striker, which was interesting. We weren't quite sure how that was going to go. But he's produced the goods again. Let's talk Tottenham and Postecoglou, because you've talked about turning up the dial. I suppose the first probably real negative press he got this week was when he made 9 changes in the League Cup, Rob, and Spurs went out. And I think some people feel that Spurs should be a team who takes that League Cup a little bit more seriously. It's a bit of silverware. It would start his reign. But he answers that question with a good win against Burnley. Their league form's been really good. What are they, 10 points from the 4 games so far? And it kind of feels a very different football club, Tottenham, to me right now, mate, to what we've had over the last few years.
Totally different, Rob. Totally different. And I think you're right to bring up the League Cup loss, because I remember reading about it. I didn't see that game. But it's like, you know, Ange's got his first kind of little bit of a knock and stuff. And, the quote was like, and it's quite a big one to get knocked out of that League Cup. Of course, when you looked at the team, it's like, well, maybe, you know, that's why. I think he said since, Rob, that, you know, he's just got to look at other players in the squad. He needs to see them in a, chance, in a fully competitive. He hasn't been there long. He needs to get these players need time, minutes, etc., etc. So that is a that was a bit of a great moment for him, if you like. But I mean, when you look at the team, Rob, and how it's different. I mean, he's totally changing it. I see that Solomon played, didn't he? Manos Solomon played on the left side where Son played before. Who assisted once, and I got to say, Hyunmin Son, Rob, is that number nine. And said afterwards, like, he's got all the attributes that I like from my striker, from my number nine. Yeah. Everything about the pressing, about the dropping in, about the goal scoring, about linking play. You know, I think this is, I think he's still tweaking. He's still trying to find his best way. But it's funny, Rob, because again, it was in that window where games going on. And I see that they went, did they go behind in this game?
They went 1-0 behind, didn't they?
South African striker quickly scored, 1-1. And it's at the point now where you check your scores and stuff when you're watching a game and checking all the other scores, and I'm not surprised. 2, 3, 4, 5 This is what Spurs are like now, and that attacking dial is turned right up. And there's going to be times where they can see goals. To some of the teams that you might not expect them to play. And Burnley getting two goals against Spurs, but they got five. I know that the Tottenham fans are absolutely buzzing with this guy. It's funny, Robin. You know, we mince around our daily lives and stuff. Whoever's doing well, I mean, they're smiling. I went out with some friends last night, and they're flipping, they're beaming. My Tottenham back, and whoever's up at the time, they're so happy and it's so different to Tottenham. Yeah. I mean, all that being said, we all know, and this is famous for Tottenham, that they shouldn't be getting too carried away.
What could possibly happen?
Not yet. But given the changes, Robin, given the slightly underwhelming appointment to some people that didn't know much about this guy, it's a pretty remarkable start. Given the amount of changes to the lineup and the difference in the style of play, it literally doesn't get any more than a Mourinho Antonio Conte reactive back foot, everybody behind the ball to a incredibly attack mind. It shows you the ability of players to react to a coach and the importance of a coach and his message and his style. And the coach has a huge influence over teams, obviously, and we're seeing it at Tottenham. And who doesn't love to watch a team that attacks and scores a ton of goals? So they're a brilliant story right now.
You know what I'm slightly sad about is that the all or nothing that we saw on Spurs, they aren't doing one now. And we've seen behind the scenes with Postecoglou what's going on in the dressing room. Because I bet you it's a completely different place to some of what we saw past. And as you say, he's definitely turned it around and given them just a bit of a purpose and a enjoyment, I think, about the football again at Tottenham, which is so important. Just so we move on quickly, mate. Burnley. Slice, not quite been the sort I thought from them. You know, champions in the Champions League. Only lost three games in the Championship all last season. They've lost three already this year. Conceded 11 goals. That's most in the Premier League. Scored just three. Obviously, Vincent and Kompany is a hero and a legend in those parts for what he's done and gone in the football club. But a little worrying, Rob, I've felt that I thought of the promoted teams, they would be the one or will be the one that had the best chance of staying up. I've been a little disappointed, I have to say.
Yep. Yeah, I think so, Rob. And I think what we're coming to terms with now, the reality of promoted teams, Rob, and it happened again this season, is that the team that gets promoted to the Premier League is way different to what they have when they get into the Premier League. All those players, loan players, go back. Man City, like Sheffield United, they're all losing players. I mean, of course, the biggest one was Nottingham Forest. They lost it felt like the whole team. We've had that, particularly Sheffield United. He moaned about all his attacking players had gone. You're seeing this year, and I don't like it. Is that promoted teams are having to start again in some ways and build a new team? Like half of the players, and Burnley's another one where you got to try and find your, you know.
But in a strange way, Robert, it's a really good point you make. I said to Rebecca, I almost feel like the team he had last season was better than the team he's got now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, become grooved and they're happy and they get, of course they get confident because they're winning games at that level. But no, you're right, and it's hard, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to make a new team, signing players that you don't know whether they're going to be high enough level.
Yeah.
You know, sign players that come into the Premier League, they want huge high wages, and that's a problem. And it's a whole new thing, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Whether they've got to restrict the loan rules for teams outside the all teams maybe to restrict the loan rules, you know, only have a fewer number of loaned players. You know, I don't like it, mate. There's so many things I don't like about it. Like, why does some of the City boys and the Chelsea players go to certain clubs in the Championship and not others? Is it fair that Middlesbrough or other teams can't benefit from a blooming Premier League reserve team player to help you for that season to get promoted?
Relationships and, then they go and connections back. And networks. If you know somebody and they can help you out,
I don't know. I don't like it.
A discussion for another podcast, my friend, I feel coming on.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Disappointing result. Burnley, great stuff for Tottenham. Let's quickly run through some of the results from the weekend, mate. We started out Friday night football with Luton Town, first game at Kenworth Road. Lost 2-1 to West Ham. Again, it's a Luton team that I don't feel they've quite imposed themselves on the Premier League as I would have liked. I know Rob Edwards talked about bringing chaos to the order. I haven't seen as much chaos as I'd like. They had a little goal last 10 minutes of the game, got themselves a goal and possibly could have had a penalty with a possible handball against Ward-Prowse. But a West Ham team, mate, who I think have defied one or two odds, and David Moyes was one of the favourites to get the sack, and all of a sudden find themselves on 10 points in a good position going into the break.
Mm. Yeah, is it like... Do you feel like West Ham, Rob and David Moyes are like, you know, last year was about bringing these new players into the side and, your Skamakas and your Paquetas and Aguerd defensively and different players that were going to do this in midfield and do that and we're going to try and be a little bit more... It didn't work out.
Yeah.
It was, and they're like, I don't like that. Let's get rid of those guys. Let's go back to what West Ham are under David Moyes. And West Ham are a very strong, hard-working team that are reactive. They'll jump on counter-attacks. They'll jump on mistakes. And predominantly, they're happier without the ball in a really good shape, and they've got very, very good forward players in the counter attack, and in the form of those players, in the Antonios or Jared Bowen now scoring, you know, they kind of govern how the team does. Paquetá can be their little star guy in the middle of the park and with his creativity. But I think West Ham are back to what they're good at. Yeah. They don't. Moyes is not going to build a team that's going to thrill fans with their football.
He's not Ange Postecoglou, is he? He's not quite Ange. But you know, fair play to him. And the other thing for West Ham and Moyes, they spent the money wisely. Wisely, mate. Everybody thought the Declan Rice money was burning a hole in the pocket. They spent wisely. They bought well. Yeah. And then Paquetá, they've got a top-class player who was on Man City's wish list and you know, is still proving to be a really important player to the team. So, yeah, good result for West Ham. Sheffield United 2, Everton 2 in the bit of a basement game. Rebecca called it relegation, 6-pointed 4 games into the season. neither team had a point. Everton didn't have a goal before this. Decore scores for Everton. Then Cameron Archer came into the game, Rob, who looked particularly sharp. I remember seeing him as a youngster for Villa. Yeah. He's part of the England under-21 setup. He's sharp. I think he was at Middlesbrough, wasn't he, last season? Got 11 goals. And I think he's a good player,
20,
Rob.
Yeah.
I think he looks like his movement, his technical ability, his finishing looks like... You know, when you see some players, you think, I like that. It looks a bit like Brennan Johnson did to me when he came into the league last year, and I thought, he's got a bit about him.
Yeah, he has got a bit about him. He's sharp, he's quick, he's good on the board. He can manoeuvre it pretty quickly. Yeah. Strikes a lovely ball, as we saw the couple of goals that were scored. I think defensively is where I'd be most worried, Rob. If you look at those three centre-backs, you know, I think Jack Robinson's, you know, it's a big jump for some of these players to come into the Premier League and expect to be solid. John Egan's been around a long time now. Rob was involved last time they got relegated. That's where my concern is with Sheffield United. I mean, I guess before Archer's, you know, obviously he's looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You'd worry about the attacking quality as well. Oliver McBurnie now is the guy who's going to lead the line. And again, I got a feel it's a bit of a question mark whether he's got the quality to be an effective, consistent producer in that area. So I still worry big time about Sheffield United. I'm going to be a little bit more positive about Everton, Rob.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a little bit more positive about Everton.
I
know they didn't win the game.
Yeah.
I thought they were a better team. I think big lad Beto up front. Looks like he's going to do all right. Looks like handful. He's got a little bit about him with some of his turns and his little bits of moves to get away from defenders. He's a big lad. He throws himself into challenges and to try and win balls in the air. You've got Jack Harrison to come back, Rob. Dan Juma gets a goal and I think is generally a bright player on the left-hand side. And they got Onana and Decore got a goal. I mean, I think Everton, with this manager, again, you worry about finding the strongest back line, but you know, I don't mind some of those players
Branthwaite,
back there as
wasn't
well.
It? Branthwaite played, Rob, wasn't he? He's one of them, you know, next to Tarkowski, could learn, could grow.
Can he step up?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ashley Young, Rob, is a steady Eddie, can help them defensively from left back. Goalkeeper's I've always liked Nathan Patterson, the right back for them. Goalkeeper made a brilliant save at the end. So I think, I know it's doom and gloom, and I know that Everton fans have been, you know, the hopes killed them before a little bit, but I think Everton have made some decent acquisitions and they're going to, I think when they get everybody fit, particularly Jack Harrison, I think he's a
energy,
really good energy and quality. I think Everton are going to be okay. No win here, but I thought a much improved look to the way that they're playing.
Yep, totally agree. I looked at that midfield at one point. You think Garner, Onana and Doucouré, Rob, is a good mix, good experience, good athletes, can do a bit of everything. Doucouré can get goals. Onana, I think there's more to come from him. So you're right, with Sean Dyche, with that group, and with Jack Harrison's energy and you know, industry in there.
They can be mid-table.
Well.
They can be mid-table.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they can be mid-table.
So hopefully that gives the Everton fans a little bit more belief. Brentford 2, Bournemouth 2 from the GTEC. Just again, Brentford went ahead and then Bournemouth came back with a couple of goals and Brian Mbeumo came up with his fourth Premier League goal of the season, stepping in for Ivan Toney, getting a 2-2 draw for Brentford. It was a kind of about a fair result for both these teams, although Bournemouth maybe will feel that, you know, they could have hung on and try and get their first 3 points of the season. Any real worries for Bournemouth, mate? Iriola, we know Iriola's come in, he's got a good reputation, but, you know, yet to get a win. You know, obviously transition into a new manager, but are they a team that could be one of the three if one of those promoted teams could stay up?
They definitely could, Rob. I mean, I think they definitely could. I mean, there's no, you know, I don't think they will, Rob, but I'm trusting kind of, I know they've looked a little bit shaky and we haven't seen the best of them. I think there's a lot more to come. I do think in Dominic Solanke, they got one of the most underrated strikers in the league. Nobody really talks about or gives much respect to. He chips in with goals regularly. You know, so I think they'll be okay. There could be some worrying times because they're very open the way that they play. And they might get a few bashings at times when things don't go well with the ball and they concede a few goals. But, you know, I it's too early, isn't it? It's too early to start getting too excited or too down on some of these. And I guess we probably have already on this podcast. But, no, I think Bournemouth too early yet with a new manager, some new players. You know, it's the same with a lot of the teams. The window's closed now. The squad is kind of set. You know, let's see in the next few weeks how they shake out. I think the last game, Rob, is Crystal Palace 3, Wolverhampton Wanderers 2.
Gary O'Neill, former Bournemouth manager, by the way, he's Wolves, took his Wolves team. Five goals. And I'm going to go straight to my underappreciated player of the week, my friend. Eberechi Eze, my friend.
Okay.
Who came to the football club from Queen's Park Rangers with a decent reputation, got quite a bad injury. I think it's like an Achilles or some kind of injury that put him out for a long period of time. There was talk he was getting to a sort of England standard. Has come back fit. Wasn't part of the plans with Patrick Vieira. There seemed to be some falling out when he was there. He didn't seem to play and get many minutes. But he's come back in the side. Was important. I saw in the League Cup this midweek, he made a couple of goals for a couple of the forwards. He scores the important second goal today. Sometimes I think plays a little bit in the shadow of Michael Olise, who's, you know, been a bit of a headline maker for this team. I just feel that Eze's potential, Rob, and he's not one that I know people talk about, although, you know, I think there was a little bit of interest in him in this last window, and he's now signed a long-term contract. But Eberechi Eze is, the new Wilf Zaha, I think, for Crystal Palace, and has got so much upside. He's a proper footballer. Reminds me a little bit that where I see James Maddison go to Tottenham and go into a better group of players with a system, and it's made him better. I think Eze's got that potential.
Yeah, I think is he's done excellently for Crystal Palace, and we talked a lot about him last year, Robert. Yeah. Patrick Vieira that fell out, and then of course Hodgson came in and he played a lot. I thought you were going to go somewhere else here because I thought, you know, Eze, I think he's fairly appreciated. I thought you were going to go with the big man up front, Odson Edouard. That's three goals now in the Premier League, Rob.
Yeah.
Edouard, you know, we talked a lot about Palace, Rob, in terms of
needing a centre forward.
You know, who's going to be the guy for them? Who's going to be first on the team sheet for Palace? It seems like forever when they haven't quite sure who it's going to be. And then that person's not really, I'm thinking of Christian Benteke from a few seasons ago. Yeah. But I think they got the guy. I think we know now who's the number nine. Mm. I think he's the most likely to score out of all of them. There's going to be times where he plays a bit crappy maybe and doesn't look after the ball very well. But I think he's coming into himself. And I thought you were going to chuck in him as an underappreciated...
No, he's underappreciated.
You know, ...striker that might actually do okay.
I'm not sure people around the league know enough about him or see enough about him. But I'm telling you, he's a talent, mate. Yeah. He's got next-level footballer in him. You know, it might take a year or two after Palace and won't do him any harm. But top-class footballer. And it was a good win for Palace going into the break in a comfortable position. Roy Hodgson, again, continues to just do a great job for this football club, mate.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think he was moaning afterwards, Rob. I saw an interview saying that, you know, he still wasn't happy, Rob. Yeah, he still wasn't happy about the way that they played.
That's what he does. He puts standards and brings a win. Listen, mate, we're going to wrap it up there as we head into an international break. Man City sit top of the pile, maximum point, 12 points. The likes of Arsenal, Spurs, Liverpool, West Ham, they're in the chasing pack, while Chelsea continue to be inconsistent and be Chelsea, despite spending over $1 billion since the last takeover. We're going to take a breather next week for those international games, but we'll see you the following Sunday. That's September the 17th, when we'll recap match week 5 of the Premier League, when there's no doubt going to be lots of stories and lots of drama. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
Good night.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.